Well, welcome to another episode of Break Away from the Rat Race. And today I have the pleasure of speaking with Fahad Bin Alam. He's a real estate investor, CEO of Nova University, and the host of Nova University Podcast. Fahad Bin is also the author of The Ivory, which is you can find on Amazon. He started investing into real estate when he was 18 years old, and now he owns two rental properties and one Airbnb. He hosts an event called the Real Estate Church in North Carolina in Fayetteville. And you know, why did he call that? We're going to hear about it on this podcast. And the motto he lives by is keep moving forward. Fahad Bin, welcome to the show.
Yep. Nice to meet you, Eric. I had you on my last podcast and that was awesome. And two quick things.
All right. Yep.
You're saying my name wrong, okay?
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're good. A lot of people, they say it wrong, but it's Fahaben.
Fahaben. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
No, you're good.
A little bit of a D there, so I thought, okay.
D is silent.
Okay. Okay. Well, you know, I'm French and I'm very familiar with silent letters, so that's good.
Okay.
Fahaben. All right.
The second thing is I'm not at two properties anymore. I'm at four.
Excellent. Well, tell us more about then kind of like where you are today, what brought you into this, this journey into real estate, and why did you start also like Nova University?
Okay. So let's start with real estate. Okay. So the reason why I want to do real estate, because when I was 18, or I was actually younger than that, and I wanted to know what's the best way of investing, right? And I bought the Purple Book. Everyone knows the Purple Book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
Oh.
And I literally just looked
that
up
Purple Book.
I looked up on Google, what is the best getting rich book? And that's one of the first books that popped up. I bought that, read it. I always look at reviews before I buy it. I read it. I was like, oh shit, can I curse on here?
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Whatever goes on YouTube. So don't get me banned.
I won't get you banned.
Just getting started.
I got the book and I started reading and I was like, oh, it clicked in my head that I got to make assets and not liabilities. Okay. I got that. Cool.
Yeah.
Now the reason I want to start real estate instead of, crypto and stocks, and don't get me wrong, guys, I do still invest into stocks. I dabble into crypto a little bit, but it's like speculating. It's not really investing. And
that's right.
When I do for fun, for example, if I like Coca-Cola, I know it does good. I'm going to invest into it for stock wise. Yeah. Right. That's why I think of it like that. But crypto, like Bitcoin, I don't know what's going to happen with it. So I don't even worry about it, but real estate is tangible. Right. Mm-hmm. And Mark Twain has said it. It's like, I mean, it's land. They don't make it anymore.
Yeah.
So that's why I buy real estate, like gold, right? It's a lot of people, they put a lot of value into physical money, but I'm like, that's just paper. That can be printed off. You can't print.
As we've seen actually in the last few years, right?
So yeah. So, and inflation goes up, and the only thing that goes up with it is your real estate properties, right? The cost of living and everything goes higher and higher.
Yeah.
So for me, that's why I believe real estate is probably one of the biggest investments that anybody can make. And the first step is actually pretty easy. It's just get qualified for a loan and then go for it, right?
Yeah.
If you're 20 years old, make all the mistakes you can. If you're 18 like me, or I was 18, now I'm 20.
Yeah.
I'm making all the mistakes that I am right now. And I'm learning from that. I'm networking with a bunch of people. I'm on the shoulders of a bunch of giants like yourself, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
You have a wonderful story. And I've seen that a lot of people, they're not making that risk taking, right? And all I advise for a lot of young people is just do the opposite of what all the other young people are doing, such as drinking, smoking, hanging out too much with your friends, partying. I'm like, let that go for a bit.
What about gaming?
Gaming, I would say gaming is, you got to put that away. Okay. And guys, okay. And now here comes the part with Nova University. Okay. The reason why I came up with Nova University, and this is a small thing that I don't tell anybody because it's kind of like embarrassing, but it's funny too. So back when I was, 14, 15, right? Everyone knows this video game called GTA 5, right? Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And I was playing that that was my life, right?
Yeah.
And I'm not gonna get you guys wrong that I technically learned a lot of business through GTA 5, right?
The drug business?
Yeah, the drug. Okay, okay. See, I lived this so I played that game so much that I was living. Yeah. I'm like, okay, guys, I wanna go and like in the game, I'm like, hey, I just want to drive these vehicles, but I can't because I gotta pay for them. I'm like, okay, how can I make money? How can I automate my drug business, my car theft business, my heist, like robbing bank business? How can I automate that? And then one day it clicked, like, hey, why am I doing this in the video game? Why can't I do this in the real world? Yeah. So now that I go back and like, I'm 20 years old, guys, so I'm relatively young. Yeah, I was young. A big video game player, Call of Duty, right? And every time I think back to video games, I just don't have that. I want to go do it, but it's like, if I were to put the hands in my, put the controller in my hands, I would just have like a little bit of a, you know, like a throw up feeling. Like, why am I could be doing more business. I could be starting up something. I could make more money somewhere else. Why am I working on this? That's just going to disappear one day. It just, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
But with the story of Nova University, it was a bunch of guys playing GTA. I named my yacht, right, in GTA because I don't have a yacht in real life. I wish I do. But I named a yacht called Nova University, and everybody laughed at me in my friend group saying, why would you name that boat Nova University? I'm like, well, this is going to be my company one day. And they were like, okay. And now I made it into a podcast, my website. And the reason why I call it Nova University is because Nova was my username or my gamer title. And I kind of went with that and I kind of liked it. So I was like, oh, I'll just make it into everything right now.
Yeah, I think it's very good.
And people like it. But I just tell them, like, I tell people other stories about it just so it's not as embarrassing. But like me telling, like, hey, I basically just got it from a video game and I live my life based on that. But now I'm trying to grow. And all the guys that were, they're kind of impressed that I did what I said. Like, what you'll know about me is that I'm a man of my word. So every time I say anything, and that's what people are afraid of too. They're afraid of me because I am a man of my word. And if I say, hey, yeah, we're going to get this done, they're like, oh shoot, he's actually going to get this done.
Yeah.
Let's not like, you know, get in his way because he's going to demolish us if we don't let him do this.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's pretty much how I got started in real estate and how I did the whole Nova University thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, gaming is fun, but, you know, I wish there was a game that you could play online that was about business, like real business, and where you would do that. I mean, I used to play something, that's way before your time. It's called Railroad Tycoon. I
never heard of it.
And it was a simulation game. And then you would have, you know, you would have a train company and then you would have to buy you know, things like the locomotives and all the things and stuff like that. And you would go from town to town, you would build a railroad and look at supply and demand and you know, all kinds of stuff like that. And it was pretty interesting. And you felt like you were building a business. And there was a couple of things like that, a couple of companies like that, where you were actually building a business. One of them is also like enterprises. And it was about building a business. It was a manufacturing business with a production line and all that kind of stuff and hiring people. And, but yeah, I wish they would have like a Grand Theft Auto that was more about, you know, building a business and taking one of those buildings and renovating it and, you know, finding contractors and, you know, that good stuff.
I may have to disagree with that because I believe that video games now and everything like that, it makes it too easy for life, right? It's an easy way to get dopamine. It's an easy way to, I can start a business in a video game. Why do I need to start it in the real world, right?
Yeah.
It's like, so I'm like there's a risk factor to it. And that's why I say, like, try to stay off of like really big dopamine type of like things that will try to hit you a lot, such as like, you know, I always tell people like, hey, level one is to stay off pornography and things that like too much TikTok, stay off of that, right? Instagram, stay off of that. You can post stuff, but just don't be a user. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Be a person that develops on there.
Yeah.
Second is, again, like, try to get rid of video games. Not get rid of, but like lower it down. It's like friends, right? If you have, like, surround yourself with the five people around you. So like, if all of your friends are obese, you're probably going to be the next person to be obese. So that's why I say, like, if your five people are millionaires, you're going to be the next millionaire. Mm-hmm. But if your five people is always negative, they're like, oh, I can't get this done. The world just hates me. They have the victim mindset. I'm like, tell them, like, hey, how about you just separate yourself from them? Don't like say, hey, I'm fully cut off with you. Just say, I just want to spend less time with you, because I don't believe in like getting rid of people. I believe in spending less time with people. And sometimes that comes with family members too, which sucks. But if you want to live your life, You definitely want to live the fullest that you can.
Yeah. And you want to surround yourself with people that are going to bring the best in you, that are going to pull forward. And if you have friends around you that are kind of like dragging you back, it's kind of your responsibility to motivate them to move forward, or you have to kind of like let them go. You can't let them drag you down for everything mm-hmm. you're trying to do, but it is your responsibility to see if you can motivate them to kind of like, you know, grow together if they're very good friends. The other thing too, that's very interesting, because 18 years old, I mean, that's when you started. That's also when I started, when I bought my first apartment building. And something that was very good for me when I got started was a mentor, right? Mm-hmm. So did you have a mentor when you got started with your 18 unit at 18?
No, I had YouTube.
There was no YouTube when I was.
Yeah. And I would say I had books too. Books helped me a lot.
Yeah.
I always tell people, if I lost everything, at least I have my knowledge, at least I have my brain.
Yeah.
It's like the whole Elon Musk thing, right? If you took everything away from Elon Musk, put him in the desert, a year later, he's going to become a millionaire again, mm-hmm. right? So for me, I say books and YouTube, all that helped me out a lot
yeah.
when I was at that early stage. Now it's kind of a little bit of a distraction, because mm-hmm. I know the information is just repetitive now.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
now it's more of action taking. And a lot of mentors, I don't think people need mentors. Usually they get mentors just so they can have that safety net, right? So they can feel that comfort. Usually I have peers, right? I have people around me. There's nobody above me. It's mostly like they're kind of like side by side, right? And they could be above me in financials, right? They have hundreds of units. I would say they're above me in that, or they're above me in other situations, right? Like relationships or stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But I still think them as my equals. And I ask them, hey, what do you think about this property? Or what do you think about this person here? And they'll give me their best advice on it. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I'll take it and I'll observe it to my point of view.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes with, and I see, since I'm Muslim, right? I also am very religious, but there's a point where I've learned this recently. Well, not recently, but like in the past 2 years, that a lot of people, they go out to seek answers from like their priest or like their we call them uzuds, right? They're like the higher people that are in the church or in the mosque. And I'm like, but in the Quran it says, listen, you have to basically make your own judgment first. And if you have a hard time making your own judgment on things, ask the people around you. And if you can't ask the people around you, first it says, like, what does the book say, right? What does the knowledge, like, the knowledge that I've read say? And mm-hmm. then go around and then start asking people. So mm-hmm. in real life terms, right, if you were practical terms, first you would use your own judgment on things, right? A lot of people, they don't use their gut. They use other people's guts towards things, which is weird. But a lot of people, they try not to make their own decisions. And that's where I think fear comes into play. Yeah. So I say, try to make your own decision. If you can't make your own decision, go back to what you already know. Right. Go back to the books, go back to the drawing board, look at your systems in place. See, does this make sense? And if you're still having trouble, then look out for a quote unquote mentor, someone that knows more of it, or someone that, and a lot of these people, they don't really know a lot, but whenever they speak or whenever they start teaching, they start to know more. You know what I mean? Whenever you're teaching something, like as I'm doing right now, while I'm telling you guys this, I'm basically filling my brain with the same thing. And it motivates me to keep going too. So not only are they filling you up by telling you like, hey, you should buy this property because it's going to, this is good, this is good, this is good. But you see like an almost like a third person perspective. Mm-hmm. So that's why.
To me, a mentor, I mean, I don't see it necessarily as a higher level person. I just see it more like as a coach, somebody mm-hmm. that is looking at a lot of people that are in the same situation and can draw on experiences and different things that people are seeing, and then kind of like come up with different rules and different things and templates and tools and, you know, things like that, because they've seen more stuff. So that's the one thing, I just think of it as a coach, someone that is there to kind of like help you kind of like save some steps and make sure that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah. One thing I'll put off to that is like, I wouldn't pay for coaching either, right? Or like someone, but if it was like someone like Elon Musk or someone that's like a higher echelon, right? And everybody's like perspective. Like if you were to have advice from Warren Buffett, right? I'll pay for his time. Correct. But someone.
It depends. I mean, it depends what, to me, it depends what business you're planning to do. Like if I want to ask about real estate investing, I'm not going to ask Elon Musk or Warren Buffett.
Oh yeah.
Warren Buffett thinks that real estate investing is the worst investment you can make. So, you know, I probably wouldn't invest. I wouldn't ask him about that. Elon Musk, you know, he's not about that either. So that's why I'm saying like, yeah, it's not really, it's more about kind of like who can help me, who is a little bit further from ahead of me, who has done more on that particular kind of deals. And then you reach out to them. Sometimes you have to pay for that. Sometimes you don't have to, if you know them, if you can find other ways to, you know, you find a deal or you say, you know, I found this deal. Can I work with you on this deal and stuff like that? And then you can learn by doing, which is what kind of like my preferred, learning, mode. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's kind of like, yeah, you don't have to pay necessarily. There are a lot of people that know lots of stuff and they're willing to share. But also you have YouTube, you have a lot of information out there that you can go in and get for free. Everything is there for free. Don't buy one of those expensive programs that cost a fortune. And, you know, unless, you know, they're providing real value and they're putting some...
I agree with that. A lot of people, they're kind of, see, it kind of changed my mind on this because there's two different types of people. There's people that use the free resources, right? They take their time to search it up, right? Mm-hmm. And there's someone else that they just want everything in one spot and will pay the premium for that, right? If they want to learn about wholesaling, they'll take a wholesaling course. They don't mind paying for something. That I can respect. As long as you're going in there knowing that there's other capabilities, but you still tend to make this choice, I'm good with that. Yeah. But if you didn't know the possibilities of like, oh, there's just free resources, but I kid you not, I'm taking these like construction classes, right? And there's this old guy, not really old, but he was like in his 60s and he still has energy in him.
Yeah.
And he did not know about YouTube at all. I'm like, where have you been? I'm like, and then now that I introduced him to YouTube, a week later, he's like, oh my God, I appreciate you showing me YouTube. And now I'm looking up how to put windows up, how to paint, paint. I'm like, so you, to me, it's like you lived your life almost without technology, right?
Yeah.
And when you introduce this to people, sometimes they kind of feel a little guilty. Like, man, if I were to knew this 20 years ago or 10 years ago that YouTube existed, I could have been hundreds of years ahead or something.
Oh, it's a game changer. I mean, every question you have is there's an answer on the, if it's not in YouTube, it's on the internet somewhere. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just phenomenal. You know, you used to go to a restaurant and then you would have an argument and then agree to disagree on something that was factual, and you would agree to disagree because nobody knew the answer at the dining room table.
Yeah.
Now everybody, there's no arguments anymore. Everybody pulls out their phone and said, "Oh no, it's A." we know the answer. So okay. Oh well, I'm surprised by that, but I learned something. So everybody learned something. So there's none of these arguments anymore. You just go and everybody pulls out their phone as the first reaction. Yeah. That's an interesting question, and you know, you get the answer. So I mean, this is phenomenal. The other thing too is that I agree also with the concept of that you had, where you basically you need to come up with your own kind of like, use your own judgment first. Mm-hmm. You try to figure it out on your own first, and then. But to me, like after that, before you take the final action, I would try to have someone else kind of like, and that's where the trick is, finding the right person to kind of like, that has the right experience, that has the right, that's going to help you and kind of and move forward and take action and stuff like that. That's going to be constructive feedback. And then kind of have them look at it and say, oh yeah, this, you're doing great. This is exactly how you should do it. Or yeah, let me check that out. And you know, that kind of stuff. I think that's important. This is also where kind of like the mentor is kind of important. If they've been there, and you can say, hey, you know, Do you mind if I could, like I show you, I created this pro forma for this apartment building. Do you mind if I share that with you? I want to make sure that before I get into this deal that I'm not like screwing myself. And then, you know, oh yeah, sure, I'll look at it. And, you know,
oh yeah, definitely.
That makes sense, right? But I think it's important, like use your own judgment, use your own knowledge first, because that's going to really force you to think. And this is kind of like part of the problem with all that the social media and the YouTube and all the tools that are available and stuff like that, is just people just plug in numbers into sheets, into spreadsheets and Google Sheets, and then they have the answer and they think this is the right answer. But you have to really look at it and really have a sense of the numbers and what you need to do.
That's why I always tell people, like, hey, I can give you, like, there's the BiggerPockets calculator, right?
Yeah.
And there's the people, they download spreadsheets.
I didn't want to say names and stuff like that.
But you know, I'll say it because I'm an honest guy with all that. I'll just say, like, they're good, but they're also crap, right? For me, I always give people spreadsheets, like, but I always tell them, listen, learn from these spreadsheets, but make your own spreadsheet, right? Learn how the numbers work, learn how they flow. Like, me thinking of an analogy is different from you, how you would think of it. Like, me giving a presentation to a bunch of 5-year-olds, showing them like cartoon pictures, show them Winnie the Pooh, versus me showing a bunch of veterans that served Vietnam. Presentation is two different things, but I'm showing them the same presentation, but it's in a different way of showing. So that's why I say, like, make your own type of like spreadsheet, because maybe you really don't understand the numbers and you're just plugging it in and you hope it works. And that's what happened to me kind of when I first started. I just used the BiggerPockets calculator. I'm like, oh, I think this makes sense, right?
Yeah.
Rent, how much it costs. I made it work, right?
Yeah.
When I bought my first house, I was like, oh, wait, that didn't work. Man, why didn't that work? Oh, because I was having too much hope, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to revive. I was trying to make a house that isn't even a deal, right? Mm-hmm. And I just bought it at market price. I was like, oh, yeah, it works, right? At the end of the day, it does not. Now that I'm more of a professional investor, I see everything as numbers, right? Binary. I'm like, okay, if this doesn't work, I'm going to forget about this property, right? Or I try to offer. My thing is, I call people now. I call sellers. I'm like, hey, I give them an offer. Guess what they tell me? They say, no, you are an asshole. Do not ever call me again. I'm like, okay. I call them again. And I call them again until they understand that they can't get rid of me, right? And they're like, okay, fine. But we don't want it at, we don't want it at 160. We want it at 170. I'm like, fine. Okay, cool. I'll take it. But I made 60K profit off of that property, right? Situations like that, that's why I would say, like, if you want to be an investor, you're going to have to go through the trenches, right? The mud. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to, it's going to get dirty. And it's not like, oh, Wolf of Wall Street dirty. It's more like, it's going to suck mentally because you're going to be mailing people. You're going to be spending $500. You're going to be spending Google ads, Facebook ads. You're going to be spending so much of your time that you're like, man, I wish I could be playing Call of Duty for my friends, or man, I wish I went on that date. But it's like you're so obsessed with being an investor that it's kind of taking some of your time. You want to see a return on investment on that. And a lot of the times, guys, spending $500 to make $15,000. Think of it. You know what I mean? $500 a mail, it works, right? You still make a bigger return on investment. It's just that, in your mind, you're like, is it even working? Is it working? You don't even want to, you just don't know.
Yeah.
But I realized, like, hey, as an investor, you got to make it your own. Figure out, like, me, I'm a funny guy. Okay. So when I mail people stuff, I mail them like pictures of DC heroes or Marvel heroes, right? Yeah. And they're like, it kind of shocks them, like, hey, what the heck? Mm-hmm. I never got a mail like this from a property investor or a real estate investor. This is cool. Let me give them a call, right? That's what I want, right? Mm-hmm. I'm being myself. And if you be yourself, and you will start to develop yourself and make yourself evolve, okay? Yeah. And having yourself evolve as a person, it makes you a better investor, a better networker, like a better person in everything, I would say.
Yeah. So tell us about the kind of like the difference. You still have the Airbnb or...
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay. So how does it compare right now? Because I think things are changing in the economy. Maybe people are traveling less. I'm not sure. Your Airbnb is in North Carolina as well?
Yeah.
Okay.
So
are you seeing any kind of changes in the economy that are kind of like getting better on the rentals, better on Airbnb, or any changes like that?
No, not really. No, not at all.
Okay. Oh, that's cool.
Because for me, the only times that I know that are going to be slow is September. Just really got to use common sense with a lot of things, right? Mm-hmm. The reason why September is a lot slower getting into like the end of August is because people are going back to school, right? And why is people are like, oh my God, I'm doing bad in December. Well, why? It's Christmas. People are trying to go home. So it's not
to me, September and October, that's the best time for me to travel because my kids are older too. So they're out of school and they've been out of school for a long time and they're partners in the business. So when we go and travel, that's when we travel because everybody's back in school and you don't have to deal with all that. Less people.
And in my area, like people were like, oh, I can like my place is really close to like Chick-fil-A. It's like 5 minutes away. So I'm like, however close a property is to Chick-fil-A, I'll always buy it. Right. It's because it'll do great. I know it's going to do great. It's so close to everybody. And then you have people running and taking their dogs out to walk. So it's a great place for living.
We look for Starbucks. Like they open a Starbucks near us. Like we're just like, oh, wow, we've made it.
Yeah, that's what I see it as. I'm like, oh, look, gentrification. It works. It's good. And now. With other people, they're like, oh, I can make an Airbnb. Everybody else is doing it.
Yeah.
I'm like, and then because in my area, there's like every year, like in the summer, 500 properties will open up their Airbnb.
Mm-hmm.
And then when September comes, it goes down to 200. And I'm like, see, like some of these people, they can't survive. If you can't survive Airbnb in 1 year, then you might as well just go long-term rental. You're better off doing that.
Well, people also they don't understand what Airbnb is. They just think, oh, I'm making more rent. Well, no, it's a completely different business.
Yeah.
I mean, you are now in the hospitality industry. You're basically doing this. You're the smallest hotel. And then, you know, this is what you do. So you have to do more marketing. You have the management and then the property management is different. It's more expensive to do that. Everything is just very different.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to do a good job, if you want to be a great, like a super host and all that kind of stuff, you have to go the extra step. You have to have a property that offers something a little bit unique. You have to offer services that are a little bit unique. You have to be in a different location also than a long-term rental. Rental, they're looking more, if you're doing it single family, they're looking for schools. Where are the best school? If you're going to do a Airbnb, I mean, you don't care so much about the school. You care about, if there are restaurants close by, bars, entertainment and that kind of stuff. So different price point, different, all of that. It's a completely different business. And people forget sometimes that this is the hospitality business. So if you don't like people, you don't like talking to people, or you don't like providing service or having that thinking about that, making it comfortable for them, having good furniture, good kitchen, good amenities, then you're not gonna. And then people realize after 6 months or whatever, they say, "Oh, wow, this is a pain in the neck to do that."
Oh yeah, and I will look at the investment ratio. People are like, "Oh, I'm making $2,000, but what are the expenses?" Right?
Exactly.
You figure out the expenses and everything, and you figure out that they'll be making the same amount as they would with a long-term rental. I'm like, see, it wasn't even worth it. You're wasting a lot of your time. Just get someone
Exactly. And then you had to pay a higher price. I mean, the property you had to buy to do your Airbnb is often a higher price than if you do long-term, because it's a completely different neighborhood. It's normally a pricier neighborhood. Then you have to put furniture on top of that.
Yep.
That need to be maintained. They need to be replaced more often. And you have to have the appliances and all that kind of stuff. And towels, sheets, etc. And then, the operating expenses is also higher. Insurance is higher, all that kind of stuff. Because now you're responsible for the property. You're responsible for the content. And you have people, you're responsible, you're liable for these people that are staying at your house as well.
Oh, yeah.
So people are kind of disillusioned. In fact, on YouTube right now, there's a lot of Airbnb bust. I don't know if you saw that. And I'm curious about the different markets. So I think here in Miami, I think it's fine, but I think there are some markets definitely that are affected by the economy and kind of a slowdown.
Oh yeah, definitely. Like I just say you got to be use common sense in a lot of things. Like if think of it, like if you were to travel, would you travel to your house? Would people want to, would you want to book this house? And if it's like a yes, like a fuck yes, yeah, go ahead and do it. But if it's like, no, then you're just don't even, I have people like sending me messages like, hey, do you think my house would do great as an Airbnb? I'm like, I look at it. I'm like, I don't even want to live there. If I was like, look how far away it is from everything else. Like, it's just like in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Like, why would you want to do this? But again, people are also weird. Like if you put like a glamping tent in the middle of nowhere and you charge that $200 a night, people are going to, there's going to be some weird people that want to like get that. And even though that costs you like, I don't know, like a couple thousands to like put there and like build, and it's just recyclables. Yeah. So for me, I'm like, people are weird, but you can't base, you can't make money off of that, but you can get lucky with it. I would say luck does have a factor in a lot of things, but don't count on it.
Yeah, well, exactly. Yeah, you have to do your due diligence and stuff like that. So let's talk about kind of like a people that are getting, that want to get started. You know, they're at a young age. What are some of the specific challenges that you had when you're between 18 and 20 years old and you want to get started? And how do you get to like you yourself, like four rental properties and an Airbnb? How do you do that at such a young age? What are how do you get out of these constraints, I would say?
I would say the biggest thing is sacrifice. If you're not sacrificing, the things, what you're doing now, you're not going to make it. It's like what the Red Queen says in Alice in Wonderland. She says she had to run just to stay in place with everybody else, but she had to sprint even more just so she can get somewhere in life.
Yeah.
So not only do you have to sacrifice some of your, like, let's say alcohol or even like just like partying stuff, you got to sacrifice that. But not only that, you also have to sacrifice probably like what you have to eat, right? You have to sacrifice, not like, I'm not saying, oh, eat ramen noodles, get smart with it, right? Mm-hmm. Understand how food works, understand all that. You also have to sacrifice how your state of living is, sacrifice who you talk to a lot. That's the that was the hardest thing for me is the people that I was surrounded with most of the time. Like, I've known them for my whole life, basically. I know them for 20 years, and now I have to not let them go, but like spend as much as less time as I should with them, because I know that my 30-year-old self would not like that. So here's an exercise that I like to do that I would recommend everybody doing, whether you're 18, 20, whether you're 40 or 50, right? I picture myself in my deathbed, and I know this is morbid, but I say, what do I regret not doing? Or what should I have done when I was 20 years old? What should I have done when I was 30 years old? How can I make my life easier in the future? I always say, eat shit now for the next 2 to 3 weeks, just so you can eat caviar for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
So that's why I always say, like, man, you got to make the bigger the sacrifice, the bigger the reward. Mm-hmm. And so it goes to like the whole Transformer motto, no sacrifice, no victory.
Yeah.
So as a kid, I used to watch all those cartoons. So I was like, oh yeah, I love that. But if you want to get into like buying more real estate, like four properties, I would say the first thing you can do is house hack, right?
Yeah.
If you have.
Yeah, it's a good way to start for sure. Yeah.
Oh yeah. And if you can't house hack, you can house hack. Don't say you can't, because you can definitely get people to co-sign with you. If you, there's always flexibility is there. You just got to negotiate. If you know how to talk, I would always recommend also people to listen more too.
Yeah.
Whenever you meet new people and whenever you meet someone that's really big, especially like female relationships too, you want to use your ears. You're not using your mouth all the time. You want to listen to them. You want to, building these strong relationships will get you further in life. I kid you not, now that I'm up there with networking, all I have to do is post something on Facebook and I have answers coming in from everybody that I know. Yeah. And people just want to help me out. And it's I feel kind of like guilty that I have this capability now, but I know deep down that I've earned that. I've earned because I put my work out there just so I can go talk to these people. I made time to basically invest into these relationships. Yeah. Again, guys, this is just money, right? It's just paper made from some guy up there in the government, right?
Yeah.
At the end of the day, you can buy houses, right? I can buy investments, but I'd rather learn and also build relationships, because it's not your net worth, it's your network. So the more people that you know, I would say, again, like there's a statistic that only before you die, right, or your wedding day, the average person knows 250 people, right? Mm-hmm. And you're probably thinking, wow, 250 is a lot, or 250 is pretty low. Either way, that kind of scared me a little bit, that on my whole life, my whole human existence, I only know 250 people, right? But I have 4,000 people in my friends list, but we're not really friends.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've done this thing where I hit up people every 3 months, right? I have a little CRM, not for business, but more for like networking, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, what does this person want? How can I help them out, right? Or when was the last time I talked to them? And what did we talk about? So I can hit them up and they're like, oh my God, Fahaben, you do care. Or mm-hmm. Fahaben, I didn't know you knew my birthday. And they're like, when's your birthday? I'm like, oh, it's this, right? Or we'll meet up and we'll talk. And it's like, my thing is, I want to be like Teddy Roosevelt, right? He goes inside. I'm a big history guy, so like I like to say quotes and all that. But he goes to, like, this is after his presidency. And he goes into the White House just for fun, right? And everybody there, he knew their names, right? Mm-hmm. He knew their names.
Yeah.
And even like the smallest person, like someone that was mowing the lawn, right? Or someone that was doing the dishes, he knew their name and everybody loved him for that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
This person put so much effort just to know my name and say it right. And even like just put like the littlest thing. Oh, this person, their habit is they like to drink with a lot of people and have fun, or they like to work this many hours and they get tired after this time, or they have 5 kids or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Knowing small stuff like that, or knowing what their dream is the biggest thing. And to be an investor, here's the key thing, guys. To be an investor, the bigger the problem, the bigger the money, right? So if you could solve the biggest problem, whether it's real estate, something in real estate, like, hey, how can I buy this 24 unit apartment complex with low money? How can I do that? Ooh, seller finance, right? If you could figure that out and get that accomplished, you will make a crap ton of money. If you could find the cure for cancer, you will make a lot of money. If you solve problems that your friends have, you may not get money, but you'll get other things in return. You might get more referrals. You might get more just like, hey, again, referrals is the biggest thing. Or you might get more attraction towards your business and this person just wants to help you out a lot more. Mm-hmm. So the biggest thing, if you can get out of this, is if I can solve the biggest problem, I'll make the most money. Mm-hmm. And that's how I kind of solve it, because us entrepreneurs, us like investors, we're always the biggest problem solver. Nothing will, that's like a little tweak that we have. We just want to solve problems. We want to figure out, how can I make this into a business? How can I sell this? How can I advertise this? What can I do?
Yeah.
We always ask how, why, what, where, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
The things that you learn in kindergarten.
Yep, exactly. These are the most powerful questions, by the way. I always, whenever I don't know how to start, what to do, something, I say, okay, what's the who, what, how, why?
Yeah.
You know, and you start with that, and it just it opens up a lot of, it opens up the mind, and you kind of like start thinking and organizing your thoughts around that.
Yeah, people say like, oh, what I learned in high school. I mean, that's one of the biggest things I learned in high school is how to ask the right questions, right?
Yeah,
who, what, where, and why.
Yeah.
And how.
Yeah. Fahaben, so it was a pleasure. If people want to reach out to you, they want to know more about Nova University, where can they reach out?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You can go to my Instagram. It is fahaben.alam, right? I am free to talk to anybody. And you can click on my link. I have a link tree there.
Yeah.
And it'll show up everything, my book, my website. But most of the time, if you want to contact me, you can contact me through Facebook. My number is 856-870-7528. I'm not afraid to say that, because what are you going to do? Take my number and do something with it? Nah. And if you want to email me, just it's my first name dot last name at yahoo.com.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about business, I'll talk about business. I'm open to partnerships. I'm cool with anything, right?
Yeah.
And if you just need basic help, I got you. I'll help you out. And if you're a young person like me, I have a thing called Nova University. It's a group of guys that are usually in the young age of 18 to 26. And we are building a community so we can help each other out and go through all of our basic like problems that we're having and help each other out. And now we're at like 60 people, which is really good. And I started probably 6 months ago. So,
Oh, wow. That's very good.
I met
the guys that are part of Nova University. I mean, they're great guys. They're very motivated. They're asking a lot of questions about the business, about how to do that and all of that. So it was a great experience. I really enjoyed talking to them. And if you're looking for advice and hang out with people that are kind of like they're at that stage in life where they're kind of so I think this is a great network. And the other thing that's good is that you're that network that you would get with Nova University, you can grow together. Mm-hmm. So imagine how that network would grow like 30 years from now.
Oh yeah.
When many of these people have done multiple real estate deals, multiple business deals and stuff like that. I mean, that would be a fantastic network to join. So again, Nova University, Fahey bin Alam, it was a pleasure speaking with you. And talk to you later.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you for your time.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Break Away from the Rat Race with your host, Eric Martel. If you want to share your story and experience with our listeners, please message us on Facebook at Break Away from the Rat Race. Also, please subscribe to our YouTube channel and our podcast on iTunes.